This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Wouldn't you like to take a vacation from your bills? Well, you can. With credit card balances at an all-time high and Golden Oak's 5.25% rate, you could be saving thousands of dollars after a simple phone call. Call today and get your cash in as little as 14 days and make no payments for 2 months. Visit GoldenOakLending.com to speak to someone today.
Golden Oak Lending, cured my blues.
6.19 APR, FHA, 15-year, 20% equity qualified credit. Additional terms apply. NMLS 114937.
Toyota's legacy has been standing tall for generations. From pioneering hybrid technology to redefining the standards of safety and efficiency. Each innovation, a renewed commitment to progress. And with Toyota's legendary lineup of trucks in stock at your local Toyota dealer, you can experience the legacy for yourself. So check out the ultra-rugged new 2024 Tacoma. Built for off-road adventure or everyday practicality. Or test drive a heavy-duty half-ton 2024 Tundra, decked out with modern tech and comfort, with a haul-anything attitude. And both Tacoma and Tundra are available with the iForce Max Hybrid powertrain, giving your truck more power than ever before. Quality, reliability, efficiency. That's the legacy of Toyota. Visit buyatoyota.com, the official website for deals, to find out more. Or stop by your local Toyota dealer today. Toyota. Let's go places.
Good morning, everybody. Happy Monday. I got to tell you, Jeffrey, there was a period yesterday when I turned to Claire and I said, oh, my God, we're going to talk about an 0-3 weekend.
Wasn't looking good in the first half.
I'm like, oh, my God. Well, at least maybe people will be fired up. Like, that's what I was. And then happily. The Memphis Tigers came through for us. It turns out they're the team we can count on here, Jeffrey.
They've been stable.
Today on the radio show, it's just Chris Harrington straight up at 10 o'clock. And Jeffrey's going to have to handle that because I got to step out for a minute. So Chris is going to join us straight up at 10 o'clock. Otherwise, it's the two of us. And who knows? Well, I may be inspired to
hear from the people.
May be inspired to hear. We may need a sky report.
Yeah.
We may need a sky report. And this is a little bit of a test, Jeffrey, because what we have to talk about, in addition to, well, first of all, there's a lot of other stuff to talk about. The combine happened. And so that was interesting. We got Seth Hennigan and Jackson Dart and all kinds of stuff from the combine. You were right. I weakened on the Matt Stafford thing. You were resolute. You said this is all a fraud. He's going to go back to the Rams. And you were right. I started there, and then for some reason, my faith was shaken.
Well, the reason why I decided to be like that with Stafford is I feel like now we see so many of these negotiations get public, and then you ride the wave with them.
Yeah,
and I was like, you know what, I'm done riding the wave.
You were right. Okay, well, what are you going to do with the Aaron Rodgers to your Giants wave?
See, this is where I think it makes sense, because bad franchises and unserious franchises do unserious things,
he's going to be a Giant.
And then I'm going to have to watch film of peak Aaron Rodgers and be like, okay, talk myself into this.
Titans, maybe. They're certainly shopping the pick, right, as they should. As they should, unless they have one conviction about one of these quarterbacks. So we'll talk about that. Tennessee got a massive and dramatic win over the weekend. We will talk about that. So all kinds of other stuff to talk about. But between the two fundamental topics before us, the triumphant weekend of the Memphis Tigers, and I saw Jeffrey always sends out a tweet telling people what's happening in the show and linking the stream or something. Is that what you're doing there? Right. We're putting the stream out in the world so people who don't have their radio on in their cars can listen. Encouraging people to listen, and you called it gross.
Yep.
So there was grand on the one hand. versus gross on the other hand.
Yep.
The question is, which are we drawn to? The grand or the gross? The gross or the grand? Hell. And then on top of it, we could talk about the Academy Awards. Do you watch any of that?
So I did watch the Oscars.
What did you think of Conan?
I thought Conan was fine, but
I thought he was fine.
It's
a lot of praise, a lot of over the top praise of him, and I thought he was basically funny. He was himself.
I'm a Conan guy, so it hit the right notes for me. We also didn't get a ton of him. Like there was the opening number really wasn't even him.
The opening monologue though, because I watched it this morning, the whole thing was 16 minutes. That wasn't nothing. You know,
but it came after the whole. So we had the video montage to start of the movies, and then we did the Wizard of Oz with Wicked and like that.
Right. And then you got him.
Correct. Right.
But he had a good long run in there.
Yeah, no, he did.
Climbing on a Demi?
I've always said Demi Moore, but I don't know if I'm right.
So anyway, that happened as well. But we've got this choice of the grand or the gross. And I'll tell you what I want to talk about. What I want to talk about is the gross, because I'm kind of more fired up about it.
Yes.
I thought Saturday was disrespectful.
Agreed.
That's what I thought. I thought Saturday was freaking disrespectful. And so I'm kind of more fired up about that than I am. But I do like to walk on the sunny side of the street, Jeffrey.
As we all know.
So we'll start with the Tigers.
Okay.
We'll start with the Tigers. As they did not clinch the conference championship.
They kind of did.
But they clinched the conference championship. Correct. Right. They didn't clinch, but they clinched. Come on, man. They clinched.
I always just am reminded by my favorite Nick Saban pregame speech after his team knocked off Georgia in the SEC championship game and was going to play Notre Dame for a national championship. He reminded everyone that the 1980 U.S. Olympic hockey team, when they beat the Soviets, they still had to go play Finland.
They did. And they took care of Finland.
Correct. They still have to go play Finland. But we kind of know what we saw.
Well, here's the thing. Memphis only has to play. Memphis has to play Finland twice and win one of them.
Correct.
You know
they get a split
with Finland, and really it's not even Finland. Like they got to play. They got to play Germany.
Correct.
And split with them, and so it's in the bag. It's kind of amazing. What a journey! What a journey it has been to the first. Who would have imagined it would take this long to win their first conference championship? Now. For a long time, there was Houston in there.
Sure.
You know, like, and so there's, it doesn't mean they haven't had some success. They've obviously had some success, but here
they won the conference tournament.
They
with
did
Houston
win a conference
in.
Tournament yeah. with Houston in. This is the first time they will have won the conference with, and we talked about this late last week. Is it better or worse, that we know that UAB is going to be fired up? And that scene was great. The gym is the right size. It was a sellout. They were giving away all kinds of stuff to get people in there. It was cracking. It
sounded awesome on
TV. It sounded great. And the question was, is this something they're not going to be able to handle? Or is this going to something that these circumstances, this is where they play best? And sure, they did not start out necessarily magnificently. They trailed by 11 at one point. They had cut it to 42-36 at the half. And then in the second half, they just took care of business, man. They just took care of business. It actually looked a little when Danger gets his fourth foul, there was 13-16 remaining. And the Coleman hits two free throws that pushes it to six, and you're like, okay, well, you know, we'll and then after that, it was just Katie by the door. PJ Haggerty was tremendous down the stretch. He had 25 in the game, but 17 of them in the second half. Your Memphis Tigers, ladies and gentlemen, shot 67% in the second half.
Yep.
67% in the second half. Haggerty had a 6-0 run and a 7-0 run himself. And then everything you want. I mean, you got Danger outplaying Yaxel again with 16 and 17. He had a double-double in the first half, 10 and 11, ended up with 16 and 17 compared to 10 and 6 for Yaxel. Rebounding, UAB is a good rebounding team, and Memphis wins the rebounding battle 44 to 32. 21 second chance points. Colby Rogers, 5 threes, 21 points. The last time he cleared 20 points was the Ole Miss game.
Yeah.
And it's why when we asked the question last week, fill in the blank, as goes blank, so go the Tigers. I think, and Jason Smith, it was you're posing the question to, he in the end said P.J. Haggerty,
and
best
I agree.
Player, and I think that's the right, but you know, the whole question, I always hate the X factor question because I think it's a silly question. What's the X factor? But if you were going classic X factor, some days they're there, and when they're there, you're going to win.
Additional perimeter scoring always helps.
Colby Rogers is the answer.
Yeah.
When they are, when he scores 16 or more, they're 5-0. And so Colby Rogers was terrific. Honestly, it was a complete performance, and afterwards you had Penny, and it was just I just warmed my heart. It warmed my heart to see it, because he walks into the locker room and the players go bananas spraying him with water. Like, and yes, if you don't understand the context of it, you're like, UAB's not that good. They're not a tournament team. They're a sub 100 team in the net. Like, you're going to be acting like that when you beat UAB? Yes, you are. And it speaks to the journey that they've had this year. It speaks to the fact that they've essentially now cinched the title. It speaks to the fact that UAB was picked to win this conference, and now they beat the hell out of them at home. And then, as fired up as UAB was, give them everything they could handle, they beat them again at their place. And it also honestly speaks to their relationship to the coach. You don't do that if you don't like and respect your coach. You don't celebrate with him in quite that joyous fashion. So, obviously, they got UTSA Tuesday. And because it's not really just about winning the conference, great that they will now have taken care of winning the conference. But it's really about, at this point, seeding. And it's about a tournament. It shows how we've shifted. When the season began, it was about making the tournament. Now it's about seeding in the tournament and how far you can go in the tournament. They are now a lock for the tournament. And so they have to obviously take care of UTSA, and then they wind up Friday with South Florida. And I said they would lose 3 conference games. I do not now believe they will.
I also think it's important. The top 4 teams in the league are you, North Texas, UAB, Tulane. You didn't lose to any of them.
That's right.
Yeah. Undefeated.
No, when they are locked in, they're really good. And they've got, I mean, we saw this. Danger had his foul trouble, and so you had Musa come in and give valuable minutes. Like, they aren't super deep, which is probably good. It's good for Penny. It's good the way Penny, you know.
How I feel.
Yeah, it creates. He's not allowed to give in to his worst impulses. But they're deep enough. You know?
And to your point, like, hey, Dane's in foul trouble. Like, they needed Musa to step up, and I felt like he really did in those times.
And I thought, honestly, that because Penny lengthened his bench a little bit, I thought UAB was gassed at the end. I just thought Memphis, that was part of it. Like, Memphis locks in. They've been there. They win these games. That's what they do. But I also think UAB had shot their shot at that point. And so really impressive, really impressive performance by Memphis. Really impressive year by Memphis. It has been fabulous to see what they have accomplished. I was just thrilled for Penny and for the city, honestly, to see the celebration in the locker room, you know, that the university put out. And so now they have to take care of business. But it's March, and we're going to have March Madness, and a team that is worthy of it, right? A team that is absolutely worthy of it. And given where we started, I don't know how you could be anything but thrilled for them. You know, it's really impressive what they've accomplished.
It was earned, too.
And it was earned from the very beginning. Yep. It was earned from, you go back to that UConn game, you know, and they've never really, yes, they had a couple of little, you know, Arkansas State, Wichita, right? Like a Temple, like, you know, whatever. They had a couple little blips, but that is it. And otherwise, they have done precisely what they had to have done from the very beginning. And against UAB was kind of nice too. It's the anniversary of the 72. What anniversary would it be? What anniversary is it?
I thought it was of 85.
It's the 85 Sorry. Team. I'm sorry. Of the 85 team. Yes, it's of the 85 team. So 95, what is it, 50? Is this 50? Are we up to?
That would be 40.
40. Sorry, math's not my strong suit on Monday morning. So the 40th anniversary of the 85 team. Yes. And both Parth and Tim Buckley did pieces on it that over the weekend appeared at Daily Memphian. They were both terrific for different reasons. One was on Andre Turner and the shots that he hit in that tournament in consecutive games. That was one of them. And then the other one, that was UAB and BC, I believe. And then the other one was Tim wrote about the UAB game in that tournament year in 85. And what was amazing about that UAB game, of course, you're going against Gene Bartow, who had left you to go to UCLA, but then he ended up at you starting the program at UAB, and he recruited a bunch of Memphis players. So at one point, and again, you can read Tim's piece over the Daily Memphian, at one point in the game, there were 9 players from Memphis in an NCAA tournament game. And that one came down to a last shot as well. And so nice to see. Listen, UAB as a rival, they didn't hold up their end this year. UAB didn't, you know.
No, but you do also realize, like, even if maybe more of it feels like it comes from the UAB side, it is still a game that has history.
It does. It has history. You don't have to make this up.
You don't have to talk yourself into it. Like, there is a history there.
Okay, so that was the good. That was the
very
grand.
Good.
That was the good. That was the grand.
Yep.
And I guess now we have to get to the gross. hold on. Big picture here, though.
All right.
Of the 3 games that the Memphis teams played this weekend, they won the most important.
Yeah, that's probably fair.
If you could only have one of these wins, it would be this win, would it not be?
Yes.
Right.
Scarcity of a schedule, the implications.
The other two you can recover from.
Correct.
Can't you?
Yes. You most certainly can. Because it's not as if Denver has decided to take off and run either. Yes, the Lakers are here and they're playing good basketball, but you are still only half a game out from the 2 seed.
Right now, the Grizzlies are 4th. They are half a game behind the Lakers and Denver, and they are 1 up on Houston. They have Atlanta tonight. Let's do this, Jeffrey. Let's because I don't want the good to be tainted by the gross.
All right.
Let's take a little bit of a break. And then we got Chris Harrington talk about, and we got Chris Harrington straight up at 10 o'clock who's going to talk about the Grizzlies as well. So we're going to take a break. We'll come back and we'll talk about what I thought was just a Friday happened, and that'll happen. Saturday should not have. Back in a moment. Jeff Calkins, 92.9 FM ESPN.
The PGA Tour is all systems go, and so is the new show, Early Wedge, on the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Sportsline experts Sia Nejad, Mike McClure, and Eric Cohen alongside myself, Rick Gaiman, Patrick McDonald, and Jason Sobel. 5 times per week, the Early Wedge provides the best information for DFS lineups, outright selections, and so much more. Follow and listen to Early Wedge in the Early Edge feed on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, back on the Jeff Calkins show, celebrating the Tigers and bemoaning the weekend of the Grizzlies because it was atrocious. Friday, let's start with Friday, Jeffrey. Friday was just a game that you missed a shot at the end, right?
Close. I mean,
John Neely won it twice.
Yep.
Fun game, except for the free throw shooting was.
And I thought the turnovers again.
18 turnovers. And 4 of 31 from 3.
Yes.
I mean, 4 of 1 from 33 is literally the second worst shooting night in Memphis Grizzlies history. They were 4 of 32 in a game 4 years ago. But you come in, you play a team that has punked you last time, and it was, you know, pretty much everything you could have wanted, 50 except for the win, 58-35. Out-rebounded them 58-35 in rebounding. Chris Harrington, who's going to be joining us next segment, he pointed out that it was the if you want to go back to find a game, 4 straight games where Ja has scored 20 or more points, that had not happened since December of 23.
Yep.
So, like, what are we looking for? We're looking for Ja to be rounding into form.
Absolutely.
Right? You got Ja.
I think that's their best path to quote unquote getting better because there's nothing you're really going to do to the roster. It's simply going to be Ja playing at a high level.
So, so you had that. There were things that went against you, right? The Brandon injury certainly didn't help. Catching 6 stitches in his mouth, which by the way sounds painful,
extremely. And you could also tell they did not have a great response for when Brandon exited.
No, and he would have been useful at the end.
100%.
Which we will get to. Ja gets the technical. And I know I'm supposed to be on the side of Memphis in all things. That was not even close to a legit. That was not close to a legitimate shot attempt. And it was what I took it to be was it was an expression of irritation.
Yes.
It wasn't just a, listen, if you wait, it was clearly so late that it was not
way
a,
after
for that. But if you did that and you really are just in bemused fashion, throwing at the length, whatever, that would be one thing. He was throwing, he pitched the ball the length of the court in irritation. I didn't have any problem with it.
No. And I mean, we have no idea what he said, but it certainly looked like he said something with it.
It was an expression of irritation, and it was, yeah, it was, and then he gets fined $25,000. That seems a little excessive to me, but I didn't think that, I thought it was an earned technical. I thought it was an earned technical.
Yeah.
So the shot, obviously, Jaws, you know, puts him up once, and then nearly gets him the win, but in between, there was the defensive possession. And none of this, by the way, none of this qualifies as either gross or disrespectful. Anything that happened Friday night.
This was NBA basketball.
This is just an NBA basketball, hard-fought game.
Yep.
And then the final possession, though, the final Knicks possession that produced the three-pointer, Taylor was second-guessing himself on that one.
Yep.
Although what was interesting is, obviously Brunson, he decides to send Vince to double Brunson, right?
Yep.
And that seemed to be, in his post-game comments, what he was questioning, that decision. The other thing I was questioning was, why wasn't Jalen Wells on the floor instead of Ja? It's a defensive possession.
And they had 2 timeouts, or yeah. they had at least one.
Yeah, I don't understand why. Why is Ja on the floor? Like, one reason you have to double him is because Jaws Gardner.
I think that's a fair. I think that is a criticism that I haven't seen that I think is fair.
In terms of sending Vince,
I guess this would be the only thing I'd push back on. If you thought they would score quickly, and you didn't want to take a timeout.
Right.
You'd want to have Ja on the floor.
So that would be the answer to that. In terms of the Vince thing, they do have a history of they care more about guarding the rim and not letting you get to the rim than they do about giving up threes. They always have. Like, that has been a philosophy under the Grizzlies, and they have been, the numbers suggest, not recent numbers, by the way, not since the All-Star break, but they've been a good defensive team. So that is sort of what they do. There was nothing about that. I was kind of saddened that they lost. I was, damn it. But there were reasons to take heart from Friday night's performance. You went up against a team, even in defeat, you know, I like to walk on the sunny side of the street.
Of course.
Even in defeat, they go up a team that pummeled you last time. You're the fourth and fifth at this point. They were the fourth and fifth best teams in the league. It's a hard-fought game that comes down to a shot that's missed. Like, and by the way, you've won the rebounding battle. You got Ja playing game after game after game after game, going for 20 or more, four straight games. There was nothing other than like, damn it, wish they'd won. There was nothing about that irritated me in the slightest. I found it to be, as I grappled with the loss and my emotions, I found myself to say, you know what, that's fine. Fine. This is fine. Would have rather they won. Everybody got a good show. Not so bad. What were your views of Friday?
I agree. Friday was not the night that you sit there and you hit a panic button or you're, like, to me, like, close NBA game, Ananobi makes a shot, you let a couple get away. I think I was actually upset that they did not call a timeout to stop the 8-second clock, but right. I think that there were a few things that went into play. Number one, it was chaos because I think everyone thought, well, Ja just got, like, his neck got wrung.
Right, right.
And there was no foul that was called. So, like, I was able to at least understand that a little bit. But for the most part, hey, that was a competitive game that could have gone either way.
And, as we mentioned earlier, had Brandon either not taken the 6 stitches in his mouth or been a hockey player, in which case he also...
True.
Now, he's Canadian.
True.
There was part of me that wondered if he would take the 6 stitches in the mouth and play.
Yeah.
But turns out the basketball player trumps Canadian in terms of whether you're going to play with 6 stitches in your mouth.
I did also wonder if he was concussed.
He would have been useful at the end.
100%.
So if you want to rationalize that, Brandon would have helped there.
Game was going a certain way when Brandon was on the floor.
But then you get to Saturday. Listen, it's a game. It's one game. It's just enraging, though. It is absolutely enraging, the casual approach that the Grizzlies seem to have to winning regular season basketball games. Even with now we have 22 games remaining. 22 freaking games remaining. Like, at the beginning of the, we were dealing with this in the first Utah game.
Yep.
Right? Man, what's the balance?
Game literally number one.
What's the balance between winning and making sure you're healthy or playing your deep bench or whatever else?
Development.
And what do we say? We say, you know what? This is just game one. When the games really matter, they're going to actually care about winning games. When the games really matter, you figured, right? Silly us!
Yeah, that was on us.
I mean, literally, you are in a dogfight. A dogfight for second, third, fourth, and fifth. And if you're fifth, they are now a game out of fifth. If you're fifth, you've sacrificed home court advantage.
Well, and further, the team that you would likely in that scenario be, they have the season series against you, so you have to finish a full game in front of them. Because if you finish tied, you'd lose.
And, by the way, if you're fourth or fifth, then you've got the Death Star that is Oklahoma City in the second round.
Yep.
So you're putting a total cap. There is massive, massive incentive to finish second or third.
Yes.
There's, at that point, 23 games left, and you are hanging on by a frickin' thread. And you don't play Ja, you don't play Brandon Clark, you don't play Vince, and you don't play Bane. And you just look around the league. You know who's banged up? Jokic is banged up. Like, it's just kind of infuriating.
You know who I imagine's kind of banged up?
Everyone.
Jaren.
Right, Jaren. And, I mean, and honestly, like, I
Jaren's played 58 straight games.
I find it to be so unbelievably infuriating that they don't seem... And honestly, the quotes, like, don't even hide it. Here's Taylor Jenkins. I'm trusting in working with the medical team to see how these guys are feeling about their bodies. When a guy is out there, obviously not able to step on the floor for some limitation. And then you're like, oh, they're not able to step on the floor. Well, if you're not able to step on the floor, you're not able to step on the floor. I get that. Brandon Clark may not have been able, right?
It would not surprise me to learn Brandon.
He was concussed. Yes. Like, I'm not saying all of them could have played.
Half of them could have.
But then he says this. We are thinking big picture for sure. These guys are going to be back hopefully on Monday if everybody responds well to the soreness they are navigating. So now we really know what the issue is. It's soreness they are navigating. And then he says this again. I can't be looking at the standings. Pressing everything right now. That's not our focal point. Looking at the standings is not a focal point? At what point do the standings become a focal point? It's getting the information that we've got, and then guys have to be ready. Then they have been working hard for this opportunity, and it didn't turn out well for us tonight.
That's putting it
and lovely. But you know who else is disrespectful to the fans? You buy a ticket to go Saturday night, and you don't see, like, any of them? And you get that crap effort? Honestly, Jaren, absolve him from all of this.
Yeah.
He was magnificent.
This is the team meeting. Jaren, you can dismiss.
He was magnificent. But then, bad enough that you're not focused on something as pedestrian or trivial as winning games or standings, for God forbid. God forbid we should be looking at standings. If you're not interested in standings, you know what you do to start the second quarter? You play Cam Spencer. You start the second quarter with Jay Huff, Cam Spencer, Scottie Pippen Jr., Gigi Jackson, and Jaren. I swear to God, if they were tanking, if they were playing capture the flag, if they were tanking for Cooper Flagg, they could not have sent out a group that would be more likely to achieve that outcome.
Agreed. I mean, I guess you'd say Jaren wouldn't be on the
Jaren
floor.
Jaren wouldn't be on there. Jaren would have
maybe
some
you're
soreness,
trying to,
too.
But maybe you're trying to get Jaren just to get cover the 65 the, game. You're trying to get him to 65
games
and then,
or something.
Yeah.
And guess what happened? They got freaking destroyed. They got absolutely destroyed. And by the end of that quarter, it was 77-58. It's pathetical. I mean, it's pathetic. It's pathetical. That's not a word.
Yeah, I'm fine with that.
It's pathetical. It is pathetical. Here's more Jenkins. What they're keeping the team healthy is towards the postseason matters. It's the number one priority. The best ability is availability. How can you say the best availability is availability when you're not making your players available?
Because he's a football coach trapped in a basketball coach's body.
As we pour into the back-to-backs, the 3 and 4s, as we've been doing all season long, we will try to understand what our practice intensity is like and our workloads and all that. In other words, these aren't injuries. These are workloads and practice intensities and sorenesses.
It's load management.
But we want to improve, to build up to what the basketball can be in the long run. Here it is. We're in the short run. The long run's over. It's now the short run. So it's always on the front of my mind, but we've been managing it all season long, and I think we will have the right recipe. No, they did not have the right recipe. They had the wrong recipe. And honestly, it trickles down. So here's Santi. And here's the other thing. If management is that casual about winning, doesn't it, like, If they're not taking the Spurs seriously without Wemby, why should we take the Spurs seriously without Wemby? Santi says this. Again, this is all from the Daily Memphian. The energy is not there. Indiana scored 50 against us in the second quarter. The Spurs scored 46. I could sit here and tell you that the energy is there, but it's clearly not. We are just letting teams punk us every single night. We make up for it and hope the fourth quarter flips our way. We can't play that way. We are not that team that needs a little bit of luck. We normally set the tone, and we haven't been doing that. It's not acceptable. Who's setting the tone? Tone's being set from the top. And so now you have the Grizzlies, because of that loss, and again, whatever, that they can recover. They can play tonight. I suspect Ja's questionable tonight, right? But otherwise, no one else is on the injury list. You got Atlanta tonight. But then you got OKC. And right now, you've lost 5 of 7. And the truth of the matter is, 2 of those wins, miracle win over Orlando, and a miracle win over Phoenix. Now you could say they also lost one. They lost two buzzer beaters too, right? But still, they've lost 5 of 7, and their only wins were escapes. Just escape with their lives escaped. Shouldn't this be the moment? I don't know, Jeffrey. Shouldn't this be the moment when you're locking in, when you're ramping up, whatever the phrase you want to use, where you're digging deep, where you're like...
I mean, how does playing those guys build anything towards the playoffs?
Why do you need to go... If you decide that you're resting all those guys, because that's what they were doing, do you still have to go 11 deep in the first half?
Seems like an obvious question.
I just don't get it. I don't like. Here's the truth: they thought they were going to win anyway.
Yes, but when you make the calculation that hey, we can beat them without playing, you better be right.
And these things matter in the end. These things matter in the end. And if you end up looking up and you're open up in Houston, and then if you can get by Houston, you got Oklahoma City in the next round, you did that to yourself.
Yep. And by the way, of those 5 of 7 that they've lost, I believe they were favored in 4 of them. I think the only one they were not favored in was the Cleveland game.
All right. Here's what we'll do. We'll take a break. And come back, and I want to ask. I need the sky report. Is the sky falling, or what was your level of irritation, or are you mostly just happy about the Tigers? If you want to say something, because let's be honest, I don't want my irritation with the Grizzlies to edge out my happiness over the Tigers. But this is fundamentally a sky report. I need 445-0929, 445-0929. Is the phone number. We'll take a break and we'll talk to y'all when we come back. First, I will tell you that Claire and I went to the Frame Corner the other day because she had some things framed, and it was exactly as advertised. They're incredibly good at what they did. Claire, by the way, is an artist on top of other stuff, but she's like, she knows she's not, like, framing is not her thing, so you trust what they do. And they absolutely did a magnificent job. 2 different prints she wanted that she cared about deeply. One was from her childhood house that they worked on, and now we're going to see the magic. But they've been doing it for 50 years. You know they're good. They've been doing it for 50 years. So if you have something you need framed, the Frame Corner, framecornermemphis.com, 5035 Park Avenue. We'll talk to y'all when we come back. 445-0929. It's Jeff Dawkins Show on a Monday. Back in a moment. All right, by the Jeff Calkins Show. Phone number is 445-0929. We're getting a sky is falling report. It was a bad weekend for the Grizzlies. It was a lovely weekend for the Tigers. So I want to get a sense of how you're feeling about all this. Maybe Jeffrey, we're alone in our irritation. Do you think we're alone in our irritation?
I'm betting not.
Okay, let's just see. Who do we got?
Jeff, let's go to Seth and Bartlett. Seth, you're on.
Hey, Seth.
Hey, Jeff. Even the phrasing sky is falling, particularly with the Grizzlies, to me, I want to answer no, the sky's not falling, because when the sky's not falling, it means you don't have an answer to your problem.
Ah.
And I think with the Grizzlies, the answer is quite clear. I think NBA history tells you over and over and over again there are good coaches and there are championship coaches. And I think that Taylor Jenkins is a good coach. I'm not convinced, and I think a lot of Grizzlies fans are starting to become aware of this. I'm not convinced. I'm not sold. I could be wrong. I want to be wrong. But every single time that we have an opportunity to put all of our chips to the center of the table and be a winning organization, it seems like we're still back 3-4 years ago trying to be a developmental team. It makes no sense to me. And so to me, I would say the sky's not falling. The answer is quite clear.
All right. Thank you very much, Seth. Appreciate it. Yeah, and it's really not a sky is falling day anyway, Jeffrey, because I don't think, like, in the end, I'm mostly just irritated about the weekend. The big picture hasn't changed for me. Seth's point is interesting, though. I don't think the decision to rest the players Saturday is Taylor's alone. Do you?
No. In fact, I would imagine Taylor would probably vote another direction.
He might well vote another direction. So, now, I think the decision to play the lineup that he played to start the second quarter is his.
Agreed.
Don't you? Yes. So, anyway, all right, let's just see how the other folks are feeling. 445-0929, your thoughts on the Grizzlies. And if you want to throw in a shout-out to the Tigers, we try to be positive here. We'd like that, too.
Jeff, let's go to Chris in East Memphis. Chris, you're on.
Hey, how you guys doing?
We're good.
Well, unfortunately, the sky is definitely falling.
Damn it.
I'm sorry.
Damn it.
I know. I'm a huge Grizzlies fan, of course, and I had friends from St. Louis coming to town for the weekend for the Saturday night game.
That's sad.
And their favorite players are Desmond Bane and Brandon Clark, and both of them were available. But we were like, oh, okay, well, at least Ja will play. And then Ja turned out to be on the injury report as well. So it was a very frustrating game for them.
How many friends were they? Two friends? You have two friends came in?
It was two friends.
How much do you think they spent on the night, Saturday night, those two friends?
Oh, God. They were lower level, so probably a couple $100 a piece for each ticket. And then, of course, the hotel for Friday night and Saturday night. So all together over the weekend, they probably spent close to $1,000.
And you got Cam Spencer, Scottie Pippen. Are you telling me Cam Spencer isn't their favorite player? Are you sure? You sure it's Cam Spencer and Jay Huff isn't why they came down from St. Louis?
I think the highlight of the game was getting the Desmond Bane main wrestling.
Oh, that's pretty good. That's pretty good. Now, that changes it. That is pretty good. I got my Zeebo one from way back when. So,
oh, nice.
Well, that's sad. That's exactly the point. That's why I think it's disrespectful. Thank you very much. Appreciate it. 445-0929. Can you imagine, Jeffrey, you spent $1,000 to come down and you get Cam Spencer, Gigi, Scottie Pippen Jr., and who am I missing?
At least I got to see
Jay
my
Huff.
Friend.
You did get this little stuff. You got a doll.
The wrestling buddy.
You do have a doll. Mm-hmm. You do have a doll. 445-0929. Who's next?
Jeff, we go to Rodney in East Memphis. Rodney, you're on.
Hey, Jeff. How you guys doing?
We're good.
I don't think the stats falling, but as it relates to the Grizzlies and the NBA, this low management fee is a bunch of crap. Because like the previous caller said, when people pay hundreds of dollars to see a particular player, and you know that they're not injured, but you're just resting them for a more important game, I think that the Grizzlies took it for granted that they would beat San Antonio Spurs without winning. And that turned out to be a bad move. I'm sick and tired of this old man stuff, especially even though I'm not paying these players millions of dollars. The fans purchasing the tickets are helping to contribute to their salaries. I don't like that. As it relates to the Tigers, I'm happy for Penny that they won the conference, and I hope they win the conference tournament and at least win 2 for 3 games in the NCAA tournament. But this has been a best coaching job since he's been in this year and last year also. But the team is more cohesive. Don't seem like you have a lot of jealousy and envy, which can break up a team and cause a lot of problems. So congratulations.
Yeah. Thanks very much. Appreciate it. 445-0929, 445-0929. Who do we got?
Jeff, let's go to Nick in downtown. Nick, you're on.
Hey, Nick.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
We're good.
Good. Obviously, all the players sitting Saturday night was the first indication how everything's going. But then you could tell y'all. I don't think y'all really touched on it yet. But Luke Kennard was clearly pissed off.
Yes,
because he got those he got those two technicals and got kicked out of the game.
Luke was ticked off. Yes, Luke was ticked off. He said he has to be better.
Yeah.
He did say he has to be better. Well,
I mean, I think some of them are probably frustrated. You know, you don't want to. You want to go into the playoffs healthy and everything, but you know, you still got to get to the playoffs, and you got to, you know, you can't just mail it in. And
these games just bite you in the ass. Thanks very much, appreciate it. Here's the thing, appreciate it. Jeffrey, I would think, like, maybe it doesn't always matter. Like, if you're jockeying between some positions, doesn't really matter, right? But staying in second and third as opposed to being in fourth where you get Oklahoma City, you would think that would be a very high priority, wouldn't you? And you would think being in fourth as opposed to fifth would be a very high priority, wouldn't you?
Totally agree.
Very high priority. 445-0929, who's next?
Jeff, let's go to Bobby in Midtown. Bobby, you're on.
Hey, Bobby.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Good.
Hey, guys. Okay, got a couple of 3 points here, guys.
Yes.
First of all, giving up over 70 points in the first half is just how many times has that happened in the last few weeks?
Without Wemby to that Spurs team.
It just takes too much energy to come back from that far behind, and it doesn't leave you no margin for error. Case in point, Friday night, the 8-second call. That might have been, could have been the play of the game.
Yep.
Saturday night, Iggy's foul on the three-pointer.
Yep.
When you're coming back from that far back, you don't have any room for any more mistakes, and that's pretty much impossible.
Well, that's why you look at the Phoenix win. Everything had to go exactly right to come to win that game. You had to get Grayson missing a foul shot, for God's sakes. You know, like, you know,
when you put yourself in those positions, it's going to be you'll be a 500 team. You half the time it'll come through, half the time it won't. And I don't want to automatically go back to Ja doing that isolation Ja stuff at the end of the game. I mean, it's a good option, but I think Jaren is too good of an option too, and mix it up a little bit. Don't let the other team know exactly what we're going to do. Last thing, I'm not really a fire the coach guy, but I think if we lose in the first round this year, the management's going to maybe look at something. You can't fire the players, so, you know, what do you do?
All right, thanks very much. Appreciate it. I think we're fundamental agreement, Jeffrey, don't you, that if they lose in the first round of the playoffs, there will be a coaching change.
Yes.
Barring some extraordinary circumstances. And again, that's not even like that's what happens, right? So, but hopefully they'll win the first round of the playoffs. Hopefully they'll win the second round of playoffs. Hopefully this will be, Jeffrey, what ignites an era of what I'm going to call an era of seriousness.
Lights of fire.
Wouldn't that be nice? An era of seriousness. Who's next?
Jeff, let's go to Dennis and Bartlett. Dennis, you're on.
Good morning, guys. How are you?
Good.
Hey, Jeff, the hope is not a plan, I don't believe, and the sky is made of asphalt at this point. I think that the Grizz, I'm a big Grizzlies fan, but I truly believe that these guys are complacent and content and sort of soft.
Wow.
And I think that we allow, as fans, we allow, like, Oklahoma City to come from nowhere to go to the top and, oh, man, they're just so great. Well, how did they get so good and just blow past us and now we're content to just go from 2 to 3 to 4 to 5? And right now is when the good teams are starting to gel and make that run to the end. I just wanted your thoughts.
Well, I don't think it's fair necessarily to say, how come you aren't the best team in the league? You know, like, that's a very high standard. Only one team is. How did Oklahoma City do it? They traded Paul George for, like, the universe. Like, that's what happened. For Shai Gilgeous-Alexander and a lot more. Like, they did brilliantly. And then, by the way, the pieces that they have picked up, whether it's Hartenstein or Lu Dort or whatever, have worked out better than the pieces the Grizzlies have picked up, whether it's Marcus Smart. Like, that's just... Alex Caruso.
Wow.
Like, all their surround... They've done a great job of adding pieces, and the Grizzlies have not been as effective about adding pieces. They've also had more ammunition with which to add those pieces because it goes back to the... unbelievable Paul George trade was the original part of it. But so I don't think it's fair to say, Grizzlies, how come you're not the best team in the league? I think it is fair to say, how come you're not the best version of yourself? And I think that Saturday were the best version of themselves.
I agree completely with that, and I didn't mean to insinuate that. I just wondered, where did Oklahoma come from? And then also, if we don't change things as far as this day, play one day and then not play the next, if we don't toughen up a little bit, I mean, you got to fight through some soreness. You're going to have to make the stretch run and then be stronger for the playoffs.
All right, thanks very much. Jeffrey, can we take one more? Can we squeeze one
more
in?
Let's take two more because they've been waiting.